Welcome to Bible Adventures. Help for today, hope for tomorrow.
Jesus is Lord of all. Jesus is Lord of all. No sin is too big, no problem too small. Jesus is Lord of all.
Elijah had been a prophet of God for about 27 years, and probably from 875 BC to 848 BC. During his last year of ministry to the northern kingdom of Israel, Elijah trained an assistant to replace him. He was Elisha, son of Shaphat. Elisha was called to follow Elijah while ploughing a field on his father's farm in 1 Kings chapter 19. Elisha left everything in response and went with Elijah to learn God's ways for the work God was calling him to do. In 2 Kings chapter 2, the time came for Elijah's days on earth to come to an end.
For several years, Elijah and Elisha labored together, the younger man serving the older. And thus, by watching, by listening, and by serving, he developed a faith that prepared him for a greater work. Everywhere that Elijah went, there too went Elisha. When wicked Ahab seized Naboth's vineyard, it was the voice of Elijah that prophesied his doom. But Elisha was there, standing by the older prophet's side. And when Ahaziah turned to the God of Ekron, it was Elijah's voice that was heard in earnest protest. And again, Elisha stood by his side.
You remain here, Elisha, for the Lord has directed me to go to Gilgal.
Nay, master, I will go with thee. As long as there remains an opportunity to prepare myself for service, I shall remain by thy side.
Remain here, Elisha, for I go to the school of the prophets at Bethel.
Nay, master, I will not leave thy side, but shall continue to serve thee and learn more of the God of Israel.
Surely you will stay here, Elijah, for I must attend to duties at the school of the prophets in Jericho.
Ask me to leave thy side as often as you wish, master, but as the Lord liveth, I will not leave thee.
Come along.
And the sons of the prophets that were at Jericho came to Elisha, as had those at Bethel unbeknown to Elijah, and said to him,
Knowest thou that the Lord has revealed unto us that he will take away thy master Elijah yet this day?
Yes, I know it. The Lord has also revealed this secret unto me.
And 50 of the sons of the prophets at Jericho came and stood afar off and watched as Elijah and Elisha approached the river Jordan.
You have been a faithful servant, Elijah, and God shall be with thee in thy ministry. Whereas I have been a man alone, appearing here and there at the direction of God for a few striking events, thou shalt be the exact opposite. You will live close to the people, minister to the needs of your fellow men as individuals as well as to the spiritual life of the nation. You will be the greatest miracle-working prophet of all time, second only to the Son of God himself. Come, let us cross the Jordan and be on our way.
But Elijah, sir, how are we going to cross? There is no bridge, nor yet a boat.
This mantle, the one I placed on your shoulder the day you were plowing, remember?
Yes, sir.
It is a symbol of the power and grace of God. It shall be thine when I am departed from thee. With it I strike the waters of the Jordan.
The water! It is parting, and we can cross on dry land.
And when the two were crossed over, behold, Elijah said to Elisha,
Ask of me, Elisha, anything thou desirest before I am taken away from thee, and it shall come to pass as thou requests.
Anything, sir?
Anything at all, Elisha. Even to the bestowing upon thee of great honor among the great men of earth.
I desire only, sir, to fulfill the task God has set for me to do. Nothing except that God's Spirit helped me. Therefore, Elijah, sir, I pray thee, let a double portion of thy Spirit rest upon me.
This is good that thou hast asked, yet it is a hard thing to give. Nevertheless, if thou see me when I am taken from thee, it shall be so unto thee. But if not, it shall not be so.
And the 50 sons of the prophets who watched from afar were amazed at what they saw.
They crossed on dry land, even as did our forefathers. Oh, God is truly with Elijah. And now they leave the other bank of the Jordan side by side, as if Elisha were afraid to leave Elijah even for a moment. Oh, fire from heaven, a chariot of fire, horses of fire from heaven. Elijah and Elisha are parted asunder. The chariot, Elijah is being caught up in the chariot and taken into the air. Elijah tosses his mantle to Elisha. A whirlwind carries the chariot and Elijah into the heavens.
From the time of Samuel, God's first major prophet for his Hebrew people, and before there were any kings in Israel, Samuel had organized and led three groups of God's prophets to stay true to God. These groups or schools of prophets lived in Gilgal, Bethel, and Jericho. Before Elijah's time came to leave this world, God sent him to visit these three groups of prophets as they'd been among the 7,000 faithful people who hadn't bowed down to worship Baal. God told Elijah this after Elijah had fled from a death threat made by Queen Jezebel. Elijah had asked Elisha not to go with him when he visited these prophets. In asking this, Elijah was really testing Elisha's faithfulness. Each time Elisha was asked to stay behind, he refused and he continued on with Elijah all day. The final place the Lord sent Elijah on his last day on earth was to the Jordan River. Elijah was busy doing the Lord's work until the very end of his earthly life. In this, he set a good example for all the Lord's servants to follow. In this generation, some of the more experienced Christians may want to retire, take life easy, and idle away whatever time they may have left. However, in Ephesians chapter 5, Christians are told to redeem the time and make the most of every opportunity. The prophets in each group told Elisha that Elijah was going home that day. Elisha already knew this, but he told them not to speak of it. Elijah wanted no ceremonies, no remembrances, and no praise. His departing, like his living, was for the sake of God's glory alone. But Elijah did his work for the Lord in the power and the Spirit of the Lord, and he didn't look for success as the world rates success. When Elijah and Elisha came upon the Jordan River, they were still in sight of the Jericho prophets. Elijah used his rolled-up cloak to strike the water, and it parted to allow them to cross over on dry land. Suddenly a chariot of fire and horses appeared, and Elijah was swept up to heaven in a whirlwind. The chariot and horses were a visual representation of God's heavenly power, which had been with Elijah throughout his ministry. Now they were lifting Elijah to heaven. Like Enoch, a patriarch of God from long before, Elijah was taken into heaven without experiencing bodily death. Because of this, the Israelite people wondered if at some future time Elijah might return to earth. In the last book of the Old Testament in the Bible, the prophet Malachi called on the now hard-pressed Israelites who had returned from exile in Babylon to repent and to turn to God and enjoy his blessings again. In chapter 4, God also said, "Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord." In Luke's Gospel chapter 1, and more than 400 years later, the angel Gabriel spoke to the old, devout priest Zechariah as he ministered in the temple of God in Jerusalem. Childless Zechariah was told that he was going to have a son, who would be a man with the spirit and power of Elijah. The angel said, "He'll be filled with the Holy Spirit even before his birth. He will prepare the people for the coming of the Lord, Jesus." Later, when John the Baptist was a grown man and begun his ministry of calling the Israelites back to God, the religious leaders came to him in John's Gospel, chapter 1, and asked him if he was Elijah. He denied it. The actual reason for John's denial is that John was avoiding being acclaimed as Elijah resurrected in the flesh, as the Jews in Jesus' day expected Elijah himself to come to them as God's messenger. John the Baptist's identification as being Elijah by the people was not so much about him being the actual Elijah, but rather as how they should respond to him and his role. In this sense, John denied that he was Elijah. However, he had come in the spirit and power of Elijah. Because the Jews had misunderstood the Elijah prophecy in Malachi, John the Baptist applied to himself a parallel prophecy in Isaiah chapter 40. He replied to the Jewish religious leaders, "I am a voice shouting in the wilderness. Clear the way for the Lord's coming." When Jesus said that John was Elijah, he meant the same thing, namely that John was to fulfill the same role in his day as Elijah had in his time of calling the nation of Israel to repentance. To those who were willing to believe in the name of Jesus, John the Baptist functioned as an Elijah, for they believed in Jesus as Lord. To the religious leaders who rejected Jesus, John the Baptist didn't perform this function at all. Long after John the Baptist had been killed by King Herod, Elijah was briefly seen on the earth again. In Matthew's Gospel chapter 17 and Mark's Gospel chapter 9, the Lord Jesus took three of his disciples up to a high mountain alone. There they saw Jesus change into a glorified form. Having confessed that Jesus was truly the Christ, now Jesus confirmed these disciples' faith by appearing to them as the glorified Son of God. Moses and Elijah then also appeared as transfigurations with Jesus in glorious splendor. In Luke chapter 9, they talked with Jesus about his coming departure from earth, his death, resurrection, and ascension back into heaven. Jesus' transfiguration was a sign that he was the Christ, the Son of God. This was further confirmed by God the Father speaking from a cloud. God said, "This is my Son, whom I love. Listen to him." This was the second time a voice from heaven had confirmed Jesus as God's Son. The first time was at his baptism. This mountaintop experience left those disciples in no doubt that Jesus is the Christ or Messiah. But they didn't know what Jesus meant when he talked about rising from the dead. They didn't understand that Jesus first had to suffer and die, and only then would he rise from the dead. Having seen Elijah on the mountain with Jesus, the disciples recalled that in the Old Testament, the prophet Malachi had written that Elijah would come to earth again before the coming of the Messiah. If Jesus was the Messiah, then why hadn't Elijah come? The disciples wanted to know. The Jews believed that Elijah would come to anoint the Messiah as King of Israel. John the Baptist did prepare the people for the coming of the Messiah by calling them to repentance from sin and producing the fruits of repentance, but not everyone recognized his role. In Revelation chapter 3, verse 10, the Lord Jesus says, "Because you have obeyed my command to persevere, I will protect you from the great time of testing that will come upon the whole world to test those who belong to this world. I am coming soon." Are you ready? The drama is from the Bible in Living Sound. You've been listening to Bible Adventures, and I hope you'll join me again next time. Jesus.